as for me and my house. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Judges 21, verse 25. The above statement is the essence of the problem that has stricken God's people from the very beginning: doing what is right in their own eyes. Never has that approach worked well for any of God's people. It has always led to disappointment, destruction, and death. This statement also summarizes the state of affairs in America today. Scores of kids do whatever is right in their own eyes because their parents don't pay attention or don't have the moral fortitude to do anything about it. People on the street do whatever seems right in their eyes without consideration for how it may affect the person next to them, because in today's world, many simply could not care less. We could argue that these kinds of things happen in hometown USA because our leaders do the same thing in our halls of government. Today's typical politicians are so fearful of losing an election that they cease to lead as they were elected to do. Instead, they follow the whims of the people who, as we just said, tend to do what is right in their own eyes. Political correctness has so infected most everyone in public service that they won't speak the truth, but will heartily defend a lie. They certainly won't defend an innocent child in its mother's womb, but will cut off the water supply to millions of people, as in California's San Joaquin Valley, in order to protect a non-indigenous 3-inch fish in San Francisco Bay. When Congress won't do what the president and his administration wants them to do, the chief executive will just grab his pen, sign an executive order, and do what is right in his own eyes, law or no law. What does all this mean for America? Obviously, it means that the nation is in deep trouble. Beyond that, it means the world is in deep trouble. Remember, the covenant with God encompasses a responsibility to God, keeping His commandments, with the reward being blessing and prosperity. However, there is also the responsibility to our fellow man, the nations of the earth. God's covenant people, Abraham's seed, were and still are called to be a source of blessing to the entire earth. Likewise, if America has been in covenant with God and has benefited by inheriting unparalleled blessing and prosperity, it has been so that we could share the blessings and prosperity, and more importantly, their source, with the nations of the world. But now, having broken that covenant because of selfishness, we have not only failed to love and honor God as we should, we have failed to consider our fellow man. You see, it was never all about the greatness of the United States. It was about the greatness of God's purpose for the United States. Our failure as a nation not only affects us, but those we were to aid and support as well. Because America is on the decline, others from every continent on earth will suffer the ramifications in some way, small or great. Maybe one of those ramifications of our decline is that those in covenant with another god, a crescent moon god perhaps, are on the ascent. When it comes time to affix blame on the responsible parties, it is typical to point the finger at the other guy. Yet, the fault does not lie with an agnostic teacher, a secular city council, or a depraved rock star. The fault lies with us, his people. Many years ago, we hearkened unto the voices of those who would reinvent history and have us believe that the Creator and His Word had nothing to do with the founding and development of this nation. We listened to those clergy who said certain principles in Scripture were archaic and were relevant only when they supported the current culture's ideology and worldview. We embraced a philosophy at war with what the founders advocated and what the Father has ordained. Somewhere along the way, we forgot that we were established as a nation under God. In acknowledgement of our desperate situation, where does all of this troubling information leave us? What are we to do? Should we move to a remote location and shift into survival mode? Should we just sit aside and watch our beloved country die? What are we to think? Maybe America is just another empire, one of many that rose to greatness only to fall into oblivion when its purpose has been served. Maybe, like so many great empires before us, we focused so hard on standing strong against our external foes that we forgot to pay attention to the enemy within. When the previous empires grew weak from the disease and corruption within, their enemies abroad had only to apply the right amount of pressure in the proper place to bring them down. Is that where America now finds herself? Are we on the verge of bloodshed and violence? Are we witnessing the final moments of America as we knew it? If that be the case, what do we do? The answer is repent. As never before, his people need to hear what he is saying through the turmoil and hubbub. Return to me and focus on my kingdom. Because as despairing as the world's situation is, we should take heart and remember that he, the Lord God Almighty, really is in control, and his kingdom is forever. Even when the adversary is permitted to pursue his own agenda, whether against Job long ago or against America today, he always ends up serving our Father's purpose. In that vein, we can confidently conclude, based on what the Scripture shares, that our Father's purpose does not call for the United States to be the eternal superpower. Yet, he does call upon his people to be equipped, prepared, and ready to play our role in his plan for this time. Understanding that the above statement might be hard for some to swallow, nevertheless, we have to face the fact that we are here to advance the only true superpower, the kingdom of heaven, period. We must keep in mind that for this to happen, it will eventually require that every kingdom of man, including America, take a back seat to God's kingdom. Therefore, as a believer, we must be careful not to get caught up in a temporal point of view, trying to hold on to something that is destined to become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Remember, there came a time that even Jerusalem had to answer for her transgressions. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Luke 21, verses 20 through 22. Jesus warned those Judeans who would listen that even a city, a nation, or people that God had chosen for a special purpose are not exempt from punishment if they continue to rebel and break his covenant. Likewise, as much as we love our country and grieve over the things happening to it, we must focus on God's purposes and his kingdom and stand only on those truths that can withstand the weight of his justice. Those are the things that will last. So then, let us set our face upon him and turn our ear to heed his voice, that we might be numbered among those who overcome. Where ISIS and other such groups are concerned, if they are to be silenced and defeated, ultimately it will not be with bullets and bombs. It will be because God's people here and abroad repent. If the Freedom From Religion Foundation and other godless progressive organizations are to fail in their attempt to silence God's people, it will be because his people humble themselves and repent. If it is his will that America should return to her former glory, power, and influence and be the shining city on a hill, it will not be determined by who sits in the White House and who does not. It will not be determined by how many conservative justices are appointed to the bench or by how many G-rated movies are produced in Hollywood. If it happens, it will be because we the people, his people, those called by his name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Rest assured, God is faithful to his promise, and he keeps his covenant with his people. The only question that hangs in the air unanswered is in regard to the covenant and our promise to him. Will we keep it? Will we be faithful to him regardless of what everyone else does? Realizing that the following statement will not sit well with some, nevertheless, we must say it. The greater issue is not whether the United States, as we have known it, survives. The more relevant issue at hand is whether God's people in America and throughout the globe will turn from their sins, rise up, and fulfill the call to be his people. Will we be faithful to the covenant he has made with us and proclaim his kingdom and his righteousness in the face of political correctness? Will we stand for his truth even when it disagrees with the popular notion of tolerance and coexistence? Will we bravely raise the banner of the crucified and risen Messiah even if we come face to face with the black banner of ISIS and the sword of Islam? We, the people of Messiah, his body in the earth, are the nation that is to be salt and light, that city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. It is the responsibility of God's people, the elect, to fill the vacuum of darkness and be the light to all nations by reflecting his light, regardless of what others may do. We can no longer afford to follow the trend of society and do what is right in our own eyes. We must choose to do what is right in our Father's eyes. Thus we close with the discourse that was delivered to another generation of God's people, but whose words are just as relevant to us today. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. And with that we say, amen. Thank you for joining us for this audio version of our book, America's Controversy with God's Covenant, written by Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. For more information from Perry Stone and Voice of Evangelism Ministries, go to www.perrystone.org. To obtain information from Bill Cloud and Shoresheen Ministries, go to www.billcloud.org.
This is the end of Disc 8 and concludes this audiobook. For more information about the ministries of Perry Stone and Bill Cloud, please visit perrystone.org and billcloud.org. Thank you again for listening.